This week on Daily Hope, we're talking about your worldview, those sets of beliefs that you base your life on. Now, knowing your worldview is important if you want to follow Jesus, because if you have the wrong perspective on life, you're going to miss God's plan for your life. You can either choose your plan or you can choose God's plan, but you can't choose both. When you understand God's worldview, you understand grace. And you know what grace is? Grace is the fact that God knows every stupid mistake you're going to make in your life, and He still chose you. And He loves you. And He has a plan and purpose for your life, and He even weaves those mistakes, those difficulties, delays, dead ends, and disasters into His plan and purpose for you. That's the worldview you want to get, and you only get it from the Bible. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview, and this is part three of a message called How Do I Know What's True? It's taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, here's Rick.
Now, postmodernism says, can we really know truth? I mean, there may be some truth out there, but how can anybody really know it? Is it possible to know truth? Is it knowable? The answer is absolutely. I can give you on a full guarantee with a resounding yes. Absolutely, truth can be knowable. You can know the truth. In fact, Jesus said you know the truth and it'll set you free. And you can know what's false. Truth can be discovered. How do we discover it? Five ways. Number one, we know what's true through creation, simply by looking around at the world. We know what's true through creation. We learn a lot about God, a lot about truth, just by looking at nature. This is why science is so important. It helps us understand how things work. It helps us understand truth. It helps us understand God and His universe. That's why we value science. Romans 1:20 says this from the Bible. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. In other words, through creation. So, men are without excuse. In other words, forget the Bible. I learn a lot about God just by taking a walk this afternoon. When I go out and I start walking around in creation, I can learn a lot about God. First thing I can figure out real quickly is God likes variety. Have you noticed that? Have you looked down your row lately? There's not anybody like you in the world. All of the different variety. God doesn't want it all alike. God loves diversity. God loves variety. I told some of you before, when God created beetles, He created over 60,000 different varieties of beetles. Think about that. 60,000 different kinds of beetles in the world. Now, you would have thought 400 or 500 varieties would be enough. No, God wanted 60,000 different varieties of beetles. John, Paul, Ringo, George, and who knows the names of the other ones. But I'm sure He's got them all named because God likes variety. God loves, you know, another thing, I look just in nature, I go out looking around, I can figure out pretty quick, this guy's powerful. You ever seen a volcano? You ever seen an earthquake? Tidal wave? The wave? Tides? Winds? I mean, it's very obvious, if God made all this, He's pretty powerful. So I know God is creative. I know God likes diversity. I know God is powerful just by looking at nature. I know God is organized. Organized. In fact, the more we know about nature, the more we realize how much He is, that the whole earth is an ecosystem and it's all delicately balanced and it can get out of balance and things that we didn't even know related to each other, we now know are highly organized. And that there is an ecosystem balance in situations that we didn't even know all that plant was particularly needed by this particular animal. And that animal was needed for this particular animal. And on and on and on and on. And you get it out of balance. It's highly organized. And when I look at, for instance, things like the angle of the Earth's axis as it is tilted, that it's just the right angle to support human life or life on this planet. And that if the axis was too much this way, we would burn up. Or if it were too much that way, we'd freeze up. And of course, we all know that's an accident. Yeah, right. And so the more we understand the planet and God's universe, the more we have to thank God for. Like I said earlier, I said, you know, we didn't know about genomes. We didn't know about DNA. We didn't know about all these things. But the more we understand, the more we go, whoa, what a God. How intricately he designed even our own bodies. You know, I'd pretty much become aware of this since I became a grandparent. You know, grandkids are much cooler than my kids. You know, I don't know. You know, I think kids are wasted on us because we have them when we're young. We don't realize how cool they are. And just about the time you get to appreciate them and understand them, they leave. But I'm looking at these little fingernails of the babies and looking how this came out of a woman's womb. And it came out and it works. And, you know, it's an amazing thing when you look, biologists and physicists, and you look at the way God wired the world in creation, we learn about God. We learn a lot about value and about truth. There is no contradiction between the discoveries of science and faith. None at all. There are contradictions between unproven scientific theories and faith, but there is no contradiction between discoveries and faith because all truth is God's truth. God thought it up before the scientists did. God designed the laws of physics before anybody, professor of physics, even knew about it. For instance, watch this. I just learned this. Watch this. Watch. Was that cool? Watch. I'll do it again. Watch. You know what? It happens every time. When I let it go, it doesn't go up. It always goes down. Now, that is true. And no matter how much you don't want it to be true, the law of gravity is always going that way. And you could do this one gazillion times and it's always going to fall down. Some things are always true. Now, the Bible says this on the back of your outline, Romans 1:19. The basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. I mean, it's just all around you. And that's why throughout history, up until about the last 100 years, almost all of the great scientists were also believers. In fact, many more theologians. Why? Because it was their love of God that drove them to discover, why do we do what we do? I'm reading a book right now called God Seen Through the Eyes of the Greatest Minds. It's a fascinating book on what scientists have said about God throughout history and what they've learned about history. I was invited to speak at TED, the TED conference up in Carmel or Monterey. That's Technology, Entertainment, and Design Summit. And it's all these scientists and technology people and very, very smart people. And they put me in an afternoon session between probably the two most prominent atheists in America. Now, that's what's called an ambush. So I ambushed them. Okay? I'm going, you're going to give me a setup this great? Thank you, God. There is a God in the universe. Thank you. And, you know, I won't let anybody be an enemy. I just love them into the kingdom. And by the time we were over, the three of us going, maybe we ought to write a book together. And one of the things that I said is, you know what? I just don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It takes far more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe that there's a creator. I mean, when I look at these instruments over here, and I look at these things, I'm going, somebody had to make that. I don't think that just showed up. Okay, I don't, somebody had to design all those keys. I could stand here for 100 million years, and I don't think it would just form on its own. Somebody had to design that. When I look at this watch, I'm going, okay, there had to be some kind of designer behind this. It takes far more belief for me to think, oh, that's an accident. And one day, or over 100 million years, that just became a watch. Well, you know, that sounds silly, but to say that the whole world happened that way without any intentional design, I'm sorry, I don't have enough faith to believe that. It takes far more faith to say this all just is a random chance. These lights right here, they just showed up there. Okay? They just showed up because over a long period of time, lights show up. Okay. You know, I've got a number of friends who are atheists, and I say, okay, let me ask you this question. Just follow me on this. What percentage of the knowledge of the universe do you think you have? 10%? Oh, of course not. 1%? Of course not. 1 billion zillionth of a percent of the world's or the universe's knowledge you might possess? Yeah, maybe. 1 billion zillionth. Okay. So what that's saying is, you and I, we don't know 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 you telling me there's no possibility that a God might exist in the 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 possibility. Yes. That's not called being open-minded. That's called arrogance.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How Do I Know What's True? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview. And we're going to continue with more in just a moment. But first, please be sure to check out rickwarren.org. There you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Thousands of folks just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails each day. So why not sign up and be encouraged? And while you're at rickwarren.org, please listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store. It's packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. More Daily Hope with Rick Warren just ahead.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick.
Let's just get down to the real issue here. It's not what you don't believe, it's why you don't believe it. The truth is, you don't want to believe in God because you'd have to change your ways if there was. Now, let's just admit it. It's not that you can't believe in God. It's that you won't believe in God, because if there was, you'd have to change some things you do, and you want to be your own God. Let's just admit it. It's a pride issue. I want to run my own life. Otherwise, how could I deny the possibility of something in the 99 point whatever that I don't even know about? That is what I would call an extremely closed mind. We know what's true through creation. Number 2, we know what's true through conscience. Through conscience. There's some things that are hardwired in us by God that we know are always right and always wrong, no matter what anybody else says. Our conscience tells us this. The Bible says this in Romans 2. Some people naturally obey God's commands, even though they don't have the law. In other words, there are people all around the world who do the right thing, and they don't have a Bible. Some people naturally obey God's commands, even though they don't have the law. This proves that the conscience is like a law written in the human heart, and it will show whether we are forgiven or condemned. Let me say, we take a random sample of 1 billion people from around the planet, or just 1 million, and we put them out on a corner in New York City, in Times Square, And we're going to ask them a moral question and say, here's a little old lady. She's 92. She's blind and she's walking with a walker. And she needs to cross a busy intersection in New York City. Now, tell me which of these three options is morally right. Okay, number one, you can ignore her. Just let her go off on her own. Number two, you can help the blind lady cross the street. Number three, you can push her into oncoming traffic. Why are you laughing? Because we instinctively know there's a right thing to do. You don't have to be a, quote, Christian or Jew or Muslim or even a spiritual person. Inside, you know that's the right thing to do. That's the way God wired our conscience. The Bible says this. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Look up here on the screen. This shows that God's law is not something alien imposed on us from without, but it's woven into the very fabric of our creation. There's something deep within us that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Look at the next verse on your outline. The Bible says this: the Lord gave us mind and conscience. And we cannot hide from ourselves. This week I was watching, and there was a criminal who had been on the lam, and they caught him as a fugitive. And when he was caught, he actually looked relieved. And then he said, I'm really glad I got caught. He said, the guilt was killing me. The guilt was killing me. Well, where'd that come from? It comes from inside. Inside. Now, the problem with conscience is this one, of all of the sources of finding truth, is the least reliable. Because the Bible teaches us that our conscience can be weakened, it can be warped, it can be hardened, our conscience can be perverted. In fact, it can be killed. I would say somebody like Hitler had a dead conscience. It was dead. And so the more I violate my conscience, the more out of whack it gets. As I said, it just gets easier and easier to do the wrong thing. So just because my conscience lets me get away with it doesn't mean it's right. But there are, the point I'm making is there are some things that are hardwired in us around the world that says we know what is right and what's wrong. Number three, we know what's true through consideration. Through consideration. So what do I mean by that? We know it's knowable, it's intellectual, that you can observe it. Truth is knowable. You don't just get truth by faith. You can test it. You can experiment with it. You can prove it. Truth is intelligent. It's rational. You can observe it. And just like I did with the, you know, dropping the pen, you can test it. Truth is testable. It is verifiable. You can examine the evidence. If I get a map, I tell you, I say, I'm going to go to San Francisco. Give me a map. So you give me a map. And that map, I follow it, and it takes me to San Francisco. And then next week, I got to go to San Francisco again, and I use the map again, and it takes me there. And I use this over and over and over. Eventually, I figure out this map is true. It's reliable. That when I look at this map, and it takes me to San Francisco like it says, and it doesn't take me to Alabama, then this is a true map. For 40 plus years, I've been following this map called the Bible. I have found it to be true. It always takes me where it says it's going to take me. I don't always feel comfortable there. I don't always like it there. But it always takes me to where it says it's going to take me. It has never, never taken me to some place I didn't expect because it said something different. And so we can, through consideration, we can think it. You see, God gave you a brain. And he expects you to use it. Why would people a lot of times say, well, I want God to just write it in the sky. You know, why would God do that? He gave you a brain. That is his will. And so he says, use your intelligence. Use your intellect. And that's how you figure out. God's not going to write it in the sky. You're in a buffet and he says, you know, take broccoli, not Brussels sprouts. No, it's not going to happen that way. He says, use your mind. Use the brain. Most people just drift through life. They never even think about where am I headed? Where am I going? What am I doing? Have you ever done that? The Bible tells us over and over, ponder the path of your feet. In other words, think through your life. Know where it's headed. Spend some time in consideration, in observation, going, am I on a true path? And check it out. When in doubt, check it out. But schedule time to do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, fools will believe anything. But the wise think about what they do. Think about, that means consideration. They think about what they do. The next verse says this: anyone who examines this evidence will come to stake his life on this, that God himself is the truth.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick will share a closing thought, but right now, don't forget to check out the Daily Hope website. You can find it at rickwarren.org. Log on today, and there you can get today's entire message, pick up the series, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Log on now, rickwarren.org. Also, we'd love to tell you about the special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. Now, as Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this very helpful book, Chuck was relentless in his pursuit of the truth in every area of life. And Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? And what does it mean to live a good life? Chuck Colson asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation of support to this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And if you can, please consider giving a little more today to help support the program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you, so we really appreciate your gifts and your prayers, your calls, emails, testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you too, so please call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Rick Warren with a closing thought.
How do we know what's really true in life? Well, one of the ways is by looking at Jesus Christ. In the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 33, it says this: those who believe in him, that's Jesus, discover that God is true. The Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. That's the phrase that's used to describe Jesus. He was full of grace and truth. He incarnated truth. He personalized truth. He lived truth. Truth is not simply a principle. It's a person. It's relational. Truth is Jesus. You know, one of the clearest and certainly one of the best known verses in the Bible is John 14, 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That statement by Jesus, where he says, I am the truth, is what separates Jesus from every other person on the planet. Nobody else can say that. No other religious leader can say that. Muhammad said, I'm a prophet of the truth. I teach the truth. Buddha said, very famous statement at the end of his life, I'm still searching for the truth. But then Jesus comes along and he says this, I am the truth. I am the truth. If you're looking at me, you're looking at the truth. You found it in me. You don't have to look anywhere else. Now that creates a dividing point. Jesus is either who he says he is, or he's the greatest liar in history. As one famous person stated, he's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord. Jesus says, I am the truth. You can always trust what I say. You know what? I'm betting my life that Jesus Christ wasn't a liar. What are you betting your life on? And on what basis are you betting that what you believe is the truth? Or what somebody has told you is the truth? What your parents told you is the truth? What culture told you is the truth? Jesus said, when you trust me, you're going to know the truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to get to know him on a personal basis. Go to my website, rickwarren.org, and when you get there, click the Know God tab. And there's a video and a guide explaining what it means to have a relationship with the truth, with Jesus Christ. And if you pray that prayer and open your heart to Christ, please let me know about it. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to help you with some material that'll help you grow in your Christian life. You can email me, rick@rickwarren.org. And be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.